is to honor and to glorify the powerful name of Jesus. Irma Bombeck writes, "For the first 4 or 5 years after I had children, I considered motherhood a temporary condition, not a calling. It was a time of my life set aside for exhaustion, long hours. It would pass. Then one afternoon with 3 kids in tow, I came out of a supermarket pushing a cart with 4 wheels that went in opposite directions when my toddler son got away from me. Just outside the door, he ran toward a machine holding bubble gum in a glass dome. In a voice that shattered glass, he shouted, 'Gimme! Gimme!' I told him I would give him what for if he didn't stop shouting and get in the car." She says, "As I physically tried to pry his body from around the bubble gum machine, he pulled the entire thing over. Glass, balls of bubble gum, everything went all over the parking lot. We had now attracted a sizable crowd. I told him he would never see a cartoon as long as he lived. And if he didn't control his temper, he was going to be making license plates for the state. He tried to stifle his sobs as he looked around at the staring crowd. Then he did something that I was to remember for the rest of my life." She says, "In his helpless quest for comfort, he turned to the only one he trusted his emotions with, me. He threw his arms around my knees and he held on for dear life. I had humiliated him, chastised him, and berated him, but I was still all he had. That single incident," she said, "defined my role. I was a major force in this child's life." Sometimes we forget, she says, how important stability is to a child. I've always told mine the easiest part of being a mother is giving birth. The hardest part is showing up for it each day. She says Mother's Day is traditionally the day when children give something back to their mothers for all the spit they produce to wash dirty faces, all the gum that they held in their hands, all the noses they wipe, all the bloody knees that they made well with a kiss. This is the day mothers are rewarded for washing all those sheets in the middle of the night, driving kids to school when they miss the bus, and enduring all the football games, or I would say soccer games, in the rain. It's appreciation day for making your children finish something they said they couldn't do, not believing them when they said, 'I hate you,' and sharing their good times and their bad times. Their cards probably won't reflect it, but what they're trying to say is, 'Thank you for showing up.'" So today is Mother's Day, and again, I want to say thank you for showing up, for being here on this really important day. This is a day, again, it's a day we set aside as a culture to recognize and to honor mothers, all mothers, not just our own. A lot of times, Mother's Day is difficult because we find ourselves in different circumstances. Each Mother's Day, there's a mother maybe who's not around here anymore. Maybe you've moved away from her. You can't be with her today. That was my situation for a lot of years as I served a church a couple of hours from my mom. Or maybe your mom's not here because she's gone on into eternity. She's passed on from this life and she's no longer with us. That's a whole different kind of pain on Mother's Day. And still there are a lot of ladies who want to be moms, but for whatever reason, God hasn't lined that up like you thought he would. So Mother's Day can be tough, and we definitely want to be sensitive to that, but we still want to celebrate because we do want the mothers in our lives to know that we value them, that we appreciate the fact that they haven't given up, that we appreciate the fact that they have continued to be there for us. If you've been around the last few weeks, you know that we're kind of right in the middle of a sermon series on the Old Testament book of Exodus, okay? The story of God rescuing his people out of slavery in Egypt. We took a little break from the series last week as I was preaching over at Holy Temple Missionary Baptist Church. By the way, that wonderful church sends their greetings to you and their gratitude for all the work that you have done to help them reach their community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last week, Brother Tommy brought a message for our senior adults on Senior Adults Sunday. Certainly grateful for his willingness to do that. Today, we're going to extend that break a little more as we shift our focus to this awesome opportunity we have to honor our moms. The reason we're breaking from Exodus, again, is because the next passage up in Exodus, it's not really a mom kind of passage, don't get me wrong. All Scripture is good for us, okay? All Scripture is God-breathed. Every passage can speak to us, but somehow it just didn't seem right to me to be talking about Passover on Mother's Day, right? That's what's coming up next. That's why we're looking at the passage before us this morning. This passage that we read together just a little bit ago, and this passage that might still have had you thinking, really, on Mother's Day? Because the story that's guiding us in our thinking and in our celebration this morning, it's not an easy story, okay? It's a story that, honestly, we have a hard time thinking about. We have a hard time processing in our culture today. Maybe as Brother Tommy was reading this earlier and you were listening and you were thinking, maybe the events of this story kind of bother you. But I'm bringing us to this passage today, not to defend the story or to defend God, because that's not the point. The point of this passage is the love of a mother. The love that a mother has for the dignity of her sons, even after they're gone. Again, this is a difficult passage. It's a heart-wrenching passage. But maybe, again, maybe it resonates with you because, again, this holiday can be difficult. It can be heart-wrenching even for a lot of people. Even if you're not there today, though, and certainly I hope that you're not, this passage can certainly be helpful as we think about the love that all mothers have for their children. Here's the story. Famine had come to the land of Israel, okay? And David, who was the king of Israel, he went to the Lord and asked the Lord, why is this happening? The Lord revealed to David that the famine was the result of what the previous king, Saul, did to a group called the Gibeonites before David came into power. Saul had enacted genocide on this people, and in spite of the fact that Israel had made a covenant with him years before, and so now God is displeased with Israel. He wants to enact justice, and that's what this famine is about. David approaches the Gibeonites to find out how he can make things right, and so the Gibeonites request that 7 sons of Saul be hanged. Now, among these 7 sons are included 2 sons who belong to a lady by the name of Rizpah, okay? Rizpah was a concubine of Saul, which was, in those days, it was a wife without a dowry. Also killed were the 5 sons of Merib. These would have been Saul's grandsons, all right? Merib was Saul's eldest daughter. And in verse 10, which we read together just a few moments ago, we're confronted with one of the most emotional and heart-wrenching narratives in the Bible. Because in that verse, we see just this solitary vigil that Rizpah, the mother of these 2 sons, this vigil that she keeps as she watches over the bodies of her 2 sons. Take a look at verse 10 again. We're told Rizpah, Ai's daughter, took sackcloth and spread it out for herself on the rock from the beginning of the harvest until the rain poured down from heaven on the bodies. She kept the birds of the sky from them by day and the wild animals by night. Now again, there's some things that we don't understand about God. There's some things that we don't understand about the way justice works, and there are some things that we don't understand about this story. But what we do understand about this story is that we see demonstrated here the love of a mother that defies logic, that defies comprehension, that defies selfishness. This story's kind of gross, right? But let's see if we can just set aside the gross factor of this story. And let's just see if there are any broader lessons to be learned about good mothering, good parenting, good mentoring. Because let's remember, there are all kinds of moms, right? There are birth moms, there are den mothers, right? There are adoptive moms, foster moms. Being a great aunt takes good mothering skills, okay? Being a good influence on any other person, being a good boss, a good coworker. These all take skills that line up with the best characteristics of what motherhood is all about. Even being a good man requires some measure of the skills that define motherhood, skills that we see pictured here. So what is it about a mother? And what is it about this mother that we read about in this passage that we need to recognize? First, there's sacrifice. Sacrifice. I mean, serious sacrifice. That's what Rizpah demonstrated right here in this passage. Imagine hanging out on that mountaintop with all of those decaying bodies. Imagine the heartache of seeing your own sons gradually decaying before your eyes. Imagine just the awfulness of that situation. The smell, the hunger, the dishonor. Imagine what people would think of you. Imagine what they would call you. This woman, they'd say, she's lost it. She's gone off her rocker. She's insane. But she wasn't off her rocker. She wasn't insane. She hadn't lost it. She was a mom. And even in the midst of the unimaginable, even in the midst of a parent's worst nightmare, having lost both of her children to death in the same instant, she sacrificed comfort, she sacrificed dignity, she sacrificed her safety, and as we'll see in a moment, she sacrificed her time to see that her sons, her children, would have an opportunity for a decent burial. Because you see, that was the rule. Right? If a body had been eaten by buzzards or mauled by wild animals, it wouldn't be buried with the rest of society. And in ancient Israel, that was the ultimate dishonor. And so this mother, in order to see that her boys, already having lost their own lives, in order to see that her boys were not on top of that, lose their dignity, this mother sacrificed. That's kind of the nature of motherhood, isn't it? Sacrifice. Let's face it, guys, when it comes to sacrifice, moms have us beat hands down. Moms have this God-given instinct to put others, especially their children, before anything else. And that's just an instinct that we don't have. I'm reminded of that every time one of our guys gets sick. You know, comes down with, you know, maybe a stomach bug in the middle of the night, right? Whenever something like that happens, Jennifer, right, she'll get up the next morning and she'll be just exhausted. I mean, just head on the table exhausted, all right? Why? Because she feels what her children feel. She's up all night checking on them, and when their symptoms manifest, right? She holds up, right? She holds their heads up. She helps out and she cleans up. And when they're between bouts of that, she's worried about them, concerned about them, right? Now, don't get me wrong. I get up with them too sometimes, right? But when I see they're not throwing up on the floor or the couch, I give them a quick, hey, hope you feel better, and go back to bed, right? It's the difference between moms and dads, typically. And I know that not everybody's typical, but moms are good at realizing sacrifice. Everybody likes the idea of sacrifice. You won't find anyone who will protest the dignity and the importance of sacrifice. We want to be people who sacrifice. It's noble, but it's not noble simply because it's noble. It's noble because the idea of sacrifice is something that's planted in our hearts. It's something that resonates with us because it's something that resonates with God. And every one of us, we're created in the image of God. And so we have this ideal beating in our hearts. You see, our God, our Savior Jesus, he was all about sacrifice. Jesus didn't insist that the world revolve around him, even though of all people, the world should have revolved around him, right? Paul put it this way in Philippians 2. He said, in verse 5, he says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's what our faith is built on. That's who we are. It's built on sacrifice, and we see sacrifice pictured so vividly in motherhood. But that's not all. We also see determination. Determination. You know how long our girl Rizpah was out there on that mountain? It wasn't like she just spent a couple of nights out there with all those dead bodies, fighting off those vultures, fighting off those wild animals. Scripture tells us that she hung out there from the beginning of the harvest until the rain poured down from heaven on the bodies. Most scholars think that was around 5 or 6 months. 5 or 6 months she slept out there in the darkness, in the stench, in the cold desert air. 5 to 6 months she persevered. She was determined. Determination. That's a mom thing too. This woman wasn't deterred by her hunger. She didn't let exhaustion keep her from this passion. She wasn't discouraged by just the awful circumstances that surrounded her in this. She wasn't discouraged by her grief or by the hopelessness of her situation, by the reactions of others as they passed by. She never gave up. She loved. And because she loved, she was devoted. And because she was devoted, she persevered. And because she persevered, it gave birth to hope in her heart. How do you get through? How do you and I, how do we get through? How do we face the challenges that this life will inevitably bring? Moms, how do you manage the disappointments? How do you manage the fears? How do you manage the worry that every case of motherhood brings? You manage it with hope. And we find hope through determination. When you're exhausted, determination. When you're at your wit's end, determination. When you absolutely don't know what to do, determination. But not determination in your own deal. Not determination in your own skills or your own wisdom or your own ability. But determination, trust in a God who promises to bring you through the valley. Who promises to bring you through the pain. Who promises to bring you through the heartache and the times of frustration. Who promises that all things really will work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. It's hope. Hope in a brighter day. Hope in a better future. Determination. Not in ourselves, but in the God who through Jesus Christ and the relationship that we have with Him promises to bring us through, and in the strength that He provides through His Holy Spirit that enters into us and that fellowships with us throughout our lives when we surrender ourselves to Jesus. Determination, sacrifice, determination. Third, reward. Reward. So, can anything good come out of this? I mean, we get to see how this worked out, right? We get to see how she got through it, but hindsight's 20/20. When you're in the middle of it, it's hard. It's incredibly hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So put yourself in Rizpah's shoes. What was the end game here? Right? What possible good could come out of this? One author said, by refusing to hide her grief, by living it out in public, Rizpah gave meaning to her son's deaths, making the entire nation face the evil of what had happened. That's pretty well right. Could any good come out of this? Is there any reward in Rizpah's sacrifice? Any reward in her determination? Look at verse 11 again. When it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, the concubine of Saul, had done. And so David heard of her devotion. David heard of her love, heard of her sacrifice, of her determination, and it touched his heart. We read that he took steps to give a decent burial to these two men, but not just them. He gave a decent burial to the other five as well. But in verse 12, we read something really interesting. We're told that David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, David's Saul's son, who had been David's best friend at one time. He took their bones from the men of Jabesh-Gilead who had stolen them after Saul and Jonathan were hanged by the Philistines. And in verse 14, they buried the bones of Saul and Jonathan, his son, in the country of Benjamin in Zelah, in the grave of Kish, his father. So again, did any good come out of this terrible thing? And the answer to that is yes. Not only did this one woman, because of her determination, not only did she get her two sons buried in a dignified, stately way, but she touched the heart of a king who remembered a similar situation where Saul and his son Jonathan were slain and hung, impaled to the wall of the city of Bethshan. And he remembered how the brave men of Jabesh-Gilead went against all odds and retrieved their dismembered bodies and buried them there. David realized that they had not been given a proper burial the way that they should have been. And his heart was moved to make it right. Why? Because of this one woman. Because of this mother, the power of a mother can change kings' hearts. It can bring justice to communities. And it's a power that can carry forward from generation to generation. Sacrifice, determination, and reward. Moms display these things most easily. But the truth is, none of these things come naturally. We're not bent this way all the time. Not even the best moms are bent this way all the time. On our own, we can't be sacrificial. On our own, we'll be determined until we get tired and decide to do something else. We're not put together that way. But our God, He is that way. We've already talked about his sacrifice, how he gave his own son for our salvation. What about his determination? The fact that he has you here today. The fact that he's chased after you time and time again. The fact that he's called out to you, that he's encouraging you, that he's believing in you, that he's pursuing you, that he continues to knock on the door of your heart, inviting you to receive him and let him in, despite your own rebellion against him. What about his persistence? What about his willingness, the willingness of Jesus to stay on the cross for you, his willingness to do everything that was necessary for your salvation? What about his reward? What about the reward of living life free from sin, free from addiction, free from wondering what's going to happen to you when you die, free from fear, free from death? What would it be like to be free from those things? Man, the good news of the gospel is that you can be. You can know, you can experience freedom if you'll surrender your life to this God who makes mothers who they are, This God of sacrifice, this God of determination, this God of reward. And I wonder, do you know this God today? Let me invite you, if you will, just to bow your heads and close your eyes. This is a crazy passage, an unusual passage that we often don't focus on, but it's an important example of who, just the rawness and the passion of what motherhood is about. But listen, it could be that the fact that you're here today, I know we got a lot of folks here today, and I'm grateful that you're here, you're hanging out with your mom. That was maybe a gift that you gave to her, and it only required like maybe an hour of your time, right? But it could be that you're here today to simply hear the truth of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. Look, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ in a personal way, if you never darken the doors of this church again, here's what I want you to hear. Jesus loves you. God loves you. As much as your mom loves you and as much as she'd do anything for you, God loves you even more than that. Because he gave his son, he sacrificed his son so that he could know you. He's offering himself to you. He's offering you salvation, a relationship with himself. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus that way, you've never accepted that sacrifice, I'd invite you to make things right with him. Invite him to be the Lord of your life. Commit your life to him and see the transformation that will begin to take place when you devote yourself wholly to him. In a moment, we're going to have just a time of response. We're going to have just a kind of a closing song. Brother John's going to come and he's going to lead us in one more song. As he does that, look, this is an invitation for you to do business with God. Maybe you just need to have a conversation with God. Maybe you just need to pray. You can certainly pray right there in your pew. But we also open up the whole front of this sanctuary for you to come and just kneel before God and pray. I'm going to be praying right over here to my right. And as I pray, I'm going to pray for you that whatever business you need to address with God today, that you'll have the courage to do that. Maybe you need to have a conversation with someone. If you're here and you need to, maybe you want to confess your sins and you just don't really know how to do that, look, we have this area called the Next Steps area. It's right here behind this sanctuary. You can go out any of these doors, and we have volunteers that will help you find it. Make your way to the Next Steps area, and we have someone there that will help you understand what it means to give your life to Jesus Christ and receive his awesome gift of salvation. That's the first step into a relationship with God. Maybe the next step you need to take is baptism. If you've been saved, if you know Jesus in a very real way, if you have a relationship with God, but you haven't been biblically baptized, maybe that's the next step for you. The Next Steps area is a great place to have that conversation as well. Maybe God is calling you to join this awesome body of believers known as Ellendale Baptist Church. Again, same place, Next Steps area. Make your way out of any of these doors and find a volunteer and they'll help you back there. But the bottom line is don't leave here. Don't leave here without doing business with God. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you.